Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
The Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980 and the Radio.com app.
Here's Smith back to pass. Dallas brings six. He runs out of time. And Smith is picked off by Jalen Smith. 35 being chased by McLaurin. 20-15-10 and tackled at the four-yard line. Dallas will take over there off the interception by Jalen Smith.
Yeah, I mean, you saw the hustle by Terry McLaurin. He is fast. He's the only reason he did not get in the end zone there on that one.
Yeah, and it looked like Jalen Smith is hug rushing Morgan Moses, and when he sees Alex Smith get to the top of that drop, he realizes, hey guys, this ball's coming out quick and I can't get there on my rush. So he drops back out as Terry McLaurin starts to make his way on a drag route across the field, and literally Alex Smith never sees him, and he just throws it right in Jalen Smith's hands. And I tell you what, great effort by Terry McLaurin. That's why he's a pro's pro already at this young age. Instead of complaining, crying, throwing his hands in the air, trying to figure out, man, what happened, he hustles down and makes that tackle.
Bram, D'Angelo, and Julie on the call right here on your flagship home for Washington football. 41-16. 41 was the number yesterday. Houston won the early game 41-25 over Detroit in a shootout. If you just teased the overs in the game, you would have been good. You didn't even need to tease them. But that was an explosive day offensively for in both games on Thanksgiving. And, of course, the game last night was postponed. We talked about that. Ravens-Steelers, for now, still scheduled for Sunday, but it doesn't look like that's going to happen either. Forfeit is a possibility for the Ravens. So a couple of other quick observations before we get to your calls at 301-230-0980. Your reaction, anything you want to talk about regarding yesterday's blowout win of the Cowboys. Real quickly about Alex Smith, because I didn't have him on the list of things that I loved, that I liked from the game yesterday for the first time in the last 2 weeks. I thought he was good. I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, I thought he was pressured more than he's been, which is something I talked about Wednesday. I thought he would be. He did a nice job on almost everything. I thought Scott Turner again called a really good game to keep them balanced. You can't drop back. Believe it or not, I know, and I said this to everybody on Wednesday, you can't look at the overall rankings and statistics of the season. You got to look at how the teams played recently. Dallas got after Roethlisberger, even though they didn't sack him. They really hit Kirk Cousins on Sunday all day long. They've got speed in their front seven, and you could see it early. And Alex Smith talked about it after the game. He said, we knew that they were athletic and fast up front, and that we were going to have to get it out quickly. We were going to have to stay balanced. We were going to have to throw it on downs in which they didn't think we would throw it on. And I think that's where Scott Turner did a really good job. Alex Smith would love to have that interception back. He'd like, I'm sure, to have a couple of the sacks back, including the one where Dexter Lawrence appeared to jump off sides. But Pereira came on and said he was actually not in the neutral zone on that play that looked like an obvious offsides before the field goal, I think, that made it 20-13. I thought Alex at times took some chances throwing into coverage, double coverage a few times. There was one to McLaurin on the second drive of the game, and that was right after the Logan Thomas throw to Terry. I thought that there was some serious coverage that he took shots on. He got bailed out a little bit on a throw that was into double coverage, and there was a penalty on the other side of the field. That was on that drive that led to the first touchdown. But he also did a great job, once again, avoiding sacks. you know, avoiding, you know, the pressure and getting out of jams that looked like they could have resulted in sacks and big plays for the Dallas defense. He's been really good and really mobile. Does he look like Alex Smith from pre-injury? Not necessarily, but he doesn't look like an immobile quarterback at all. He got outside the pocket a couple of times on quick pressures and was able to either run or throw it away. He extended in the pocket on a throw that drew a flag on that first touchdown drive. It was the 3rd and 5 where there was illegal contact called on McLaurin, or whoever was covering McLaurin in that moment. That was a ball and a drive. Now, you would have had the penalty anyway, but he extended in the pocket, had really good feel. I thought his touchdown throw to Logan Thomas was really good. I mean, he threw that ball to Logan Thomas before Logan Thomas had turned, and right when Thomas turned, the ball was right on him. The empty set stuff, man, does he see that. Boy, I think there is so much advantage of working with 5 wides and an empty set because they get matchups that Alex, you know, is able to identify immediately and get the ball out quickly. There was a play where McLaurin was matched up against Sean Lee on one of them. You know, he would obviously like to have a few of the throws back. The interception was really the worst play he's made since the second half of the Giant game after he came in for Kyle Allen in that particular game. That's really, I mean, maybe you guys would come up with another one, but I think that was probably the worst play we've seen from him since then. You know, he was solid. You know, he was solid. The numbers, you know, they didn't need to have big numbers. He was 19 of 26 for 149 yards, had the touchdown, had the one interception, was sacked 3 times, but avoided at least another 2 sacks minimum. But they ran the football. You know, Gibson and, God, Barber was really exceptional with his vision and his explosiveness. Gibson really runs with power. We've talked about that before. But they rushed the ball 36 times for 182 yards against one of the worst rush defenses in the league. So good job by everybody offensively that led to a day in which Alex Smith didn't have to throw the ball 35-plus times, didn't have to throw for 300 yards. Alex Smith now in back-to-back wins where in many ways you got to the fourth quarter and you could almost put a little bit of, you know, take a little bit of your foot off the pedal. You know, he's thrown 25 and 26 times in the last 2 weeks. He was 17 of 25 for a 166 last week with a touchdown and a pick. And he was 19 of 26 for 149 yards with a touchdown and a pick yesterday. The pick, remember, last week was the deflection. Not necessarily his fault. It was that big dude, Marcus Hunt, that stepped in front of it. A couple of other observations. First of all, I thought that the challenge, obviously, on the Zeke fumble was an obvious one. They got it, you know, in there. Remember last week on a catch by A.J. Green on the sideline, they threw the flag because Cincinnati was rushing. It turned out to be wrong. This one was obvious right when we saw the replay. That was big. I thought the game yesterday, in terms of spotting the ball, I don't know if anybody else picked up on this. Man, I thought that the spotting of the football in a lot of these plays was just off. One of them, they overturned in the final 2 minutes of the first half on that Gallup catch, which they moved the chains, and it was clearly short on a 3rd and 10. He got 9.5. And then Gibson had a run in the first half that was 2nd and 5, and he clearly looked like he had the first down. They spotted it short. Washington didn't challenge the spot. Barber ended up getting a first down on the next play. Inman had a play. Inman was back yesterday, a 3rd and 15 play that I thought he actually may have gotten the first down. Now, I'd like to see Inman when on 3rd and 10 a few weeks back, if you recall, on a bubble, he didn't get there. Seemed to sort of wimp out at the very end. And I thought yesterday on the 3rd and 15, he didn't show as much physicality or urgency to move the sticks, even though I think he may have gotten it, but they marked it short on that one. Sims Jr. had a bad fielding of a punt from his own 3-yard line, and then there was a penalty on top of that. I'd like to see Danny Johnson return more kickoffs. I think that the last week and this week, there were kicks that were coming down right at the goal line, you know, that he, and maybe he's being instructed to do that. Maybe they're like, you know what, we like the 25-yard line and we'll take the 25-yard line. The thing is I kind of like him as a returner. And so he had, you know, a couple of kickoff returns yesterday. He also let a couple hit just barely inside or just across the goal line. What else did I have before we get to your calls? That's it. That's pretty much it. You know, there was the Ian Rappaport story before the game. Maybe some of you missed it. It was Thanksgiving Day. But Rappaport had a story on the NFL Network that Washington is definitely interested in having Alex Smith back next year. He, you know, would be right around the $19, $20 million mark in terms of salary. It's going to be very interesting to see what happens with the cap in this offseason because revenues, obviously, during this year with no fans are going to be lower. The cap's not going up. It may go down prior to the 2021 season. Still, Washington's in a very good salary cap position. Top five in the league in projected available cap space going into 2021. I want to see these final five games before I declare bring Alex back. But certainly his last 3.5 games have been impressive. And they are a better football team because he's on the field. I think it's reasonable to ask the question, would the results have been the same with Kyle Allen over the last 3.5 games? I'm not so sure they wouldn't be. But Alex provides some level of leadership and confidence that we haven't seen a quarterback provide this team in a long time. Yes, and I did see when Alex went down on that run, the first guy over there to help him up was Dwayne Haskins. That was nice to see. Boy, that got a lot of run on social media, so much so that Dwayne retweeted it. Your calls when we come back, 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. J.P. Finley scheduled to join us at 8 a.m. We'll talk with him about the game. I've got a smell test a little bit later on in the show. I did put Washington into it, so I'm 1-0 this week. I like them plus the 3. They were the anti-public play. Man, those pregame shows talking up the Cowboys before that game yesterday about the big run that they were going to make here with the easiest schedule of the teams in the NFC East. And they were thoroughly throttled and embarrassed on their home field in front of fans on Thanksgiving Day by the football team. God, that's annoying, isn't it? Come on, Joe Buck, Troy Aikman, just refer to it as Washington. They slipped up a couple of times with Redskins. But when you hear, we got to fix that. If there's one thing that's got to be fixed, if there's no new name, it can't be football team next year. Just Washington, FC, FC Washington, so everybody just refers to him as Washington. Annoying. Kevin Sheehan Show, Team 980. TheTeam980.com, and also on the Radio.com app.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Down to one, gets the snap off. Washington brings 5. Over the middle, that is Lamb, but he is short of the first down. Tagged by Troy Apke.
Wait.
And Washington takes over on downs again.
Hey, Troy Apke saying, uh-huh, all these times, people saying I can't tackle. He did.
Hey, Troy says it's easy to tackle when you're up 41-16, man. Just let the dudes catch it in front of you and go knock their head off.
Interesting yesterday, Jeremy Reeves up for the game. He played basically the same number of snaps that Apke played. Reeves got 29 of the 59 defensive snaps. Apke got 30. DeShazer Everett could be back a week from Sunday or whenever they play the Pittsburgh-Washington game. I mentioned earlier, just something to keep in mind, Field Yates put this out last night. If Baltimore-Dallas has to get moved from next Thursday and the NFL doesn't want to lose that primetime spot, it's possible they could move potentially Pittsburgh-Washington, the two teams that aren't playing on Sunday. I say they're not playing on Sunday. Pittsburgh right now and Baltimore looks like it's headed towards another postponement or a forfeit potentially. Interesting situation in how the NFL is going to handle this Pittsburgh-Baltimore situation. If Everett's back, I mean, it's Everett's spot. Without Everett there, I wonder if Reeves will continue to get more opportunities. Reeves made a couple of big-time plays, I thought, in the game yesterday. Number 39 was his jersey number, for those that are wondering. J.P. Finley going to be with us at 8 a.m. I've got a smell test next hour. We'll look at some of the other big NFL games this weekend. But right now, your calls. What did you like? What didn't you like? Any other observations from Washington's absolutely humiliating beatdown of the Cowboys on Thanksgiving Day, 41-16. Thomas, kick it off for us. Go ahead.
Morning, Kevin. How you doing?
What's up, Thomas?
Hey, man. I know you're not going to like me when I say this, but Washington football team, man. I know you don't like the name. But if they keep winning like this, the name is going to be guaranteed. It's going to be guaranteed for next year. They already told us, Kevin.
Yeah. It wouldn't surprise me if something is similar next year. Keep in mind, and I've mentioned this before, and I'm not sure that this is true. It's just a gut feel that it's possible that if there are, you know, ongoing ownership issues, and that if Snyder eventually joins his minority partners and puts the team up for sale, that they're saving that as a carrot to buying the team, that the new owner could potentially name the team. I think that's in play. I'm not saying that I know anything. I don't know that for sure, but if that's a possibility that he could lose the team or choose to sell the team, you wouldn't want to name it and then have the new name, potential new owner, not like the name. I would like to see next year FC Washington, Washington FC. Football team, football club with the acronym and it abbreviated would be my preference. But go ahead. What else you got?
But this is what I like, though. This is what I like. I like how the team came into AT&T Stadium with them dealing with the emotional loss from a good brother on their side that passed away.
Right.
And coming in and beat those guys. That ain't easy to do, you know. Those guys was rivaling, you know what I mean, with beating Minnesota. And Andy Dalton actually was good in that game, even though, you know, but we showed up for Dallas is that their defense, they can't stop the run. And I'm glad that we came in and proved that we can run the ball, you know what I mean, and hold them to what we want to try to do best. What I didn't like about the game, it's the same thing you didn't like, Kevin. I'm not a fan of Troy Apke. I'm not a fan of nothing on the back end. Because it's a lot of work that needs to be done with them, or we missing a piece. Maybe DeShazer Evans, the piece we missing, not really sure. And the linebacker play wasn't all that great because that front, man. They if they keep playing like that,
I thought
that,
Cole
Kevin,
Holcomb played well.
You like Cole? Yeah, Cole Holcomb. He had flashes, Kevin. But I mean, it wasn't. You know, they got over 41 points. I know Gardy gonna love this because they got over the 30 mark. And they held them to 16 points. You know, can they do that to Pittsburgh? Because I'll be moving on to that Monday.
Yeah. Thanks for the call. This is, you know, here's the thing. Over the last six games, they've been a good team. They've been professionally competent, as I've talked about, on offense. They've been disciplined. They've had chances in all six of these games. They've won three of them. But the competition is subpar. that they face. They're getting the real deal a week from Sunday against the Steelers. So I am very curious to see how they're going to look in these next three, playing very good defensive teams in their next two in Pittsburgh and San Francisco, and then playing a Seattle team where they're going to have to somehow check Russell Wilson. These next three, to have a chance for the division, and right now they've got the lead, at least temporarily, until we get through the rest of the weekend. I look at the next three, they got to get one. They got to get, Pittsburgh, San Francisco, or Seattle at home. One of those three would put them, right there at 5-9 with two left against the Panthers and the Eagles. And then you've got a chance if you win the final two. 7-9 does it. 7-9, more likely than not, does it. And if you can get one of these next two to put yourself in that position, hell, 6-10 might do it. But if you can get one of the next three, you're going to be in position over the final two to win the division. And that's what yesterday did. Yesterday kept Washington very much in the hunt, and at the forefront of the hunt. Dallas is way back there despite their schedule. That was humiliation for them. That was, we're just not very good. When Washington comes in and beats us by 25 after beating us by 22, and we thought we were ready for this game, we're not ready. This season's lost, and I think that's the way to look at it if you're a Cowboy fan. Junior, go ahead.
Morning, Kevin.
Good morning, Junior.
Observation. Ron Rivera, love what he's doing. I know there's a lot of people who don't like his coaching style, but I think you have to look at it as a whole. He has changed the entire culture of this team, and I don't mean on the football field. I mean in the administrative offices, with all the changes he's made. I think he had a lot to do with convincing Dan Snyder to change the name. I think if anybody believes that if he would have changed it, if Bruce Allen was still there, is delusional. I think Dan Snyder coming out issuing an apology, if Ron Rivera was there, if it was Bruce Allen, he would never have done that. So that's my observation. I see a light at the end of the tunnel with this guy. Even if he doesn't win a Super Bowl here, this organization is better off with him here right now. Things I liked. Scott Turner, I love the fact that we have a coordinator that actually has a game plan, not just a bunch of plays he thinks is going to work against anybody, but an actual game plan. Some weeks he runs the ball a lot. Some weeks he has short passes for the running game because he doesn't think we can run against a team. Love that. Terry McLaurin, absolutely unbelievable player. Steal of last year's draft, in my opinion. Things I did not like. I know everybody gets on Troy Apke, but the thing I did not like was some of the defensive calls where you kept Ronald Darby on Amari Cooper, Gallup Cooper by himself. He obviously struggled from the get-go. No, I don't know why they did not put more help over there when he was one-on-one with those guys. And Andy Dalton saw it on the second play where pass interference, where he threw it up and Ronald Darby just had to grab. Now, Ronald Darby did the right thing by grabbing him because it saved the touchdown at that point. But that was the only thing I did not like. I know everybody's getting on Trafke, but I don't think he had some horrible game where he is going to be cut or anything like that. Now, the thing, one other observation, I would like to see us, I know this is not something you should say, but I would love to see us keep improving, win a couple games, but don't make the playoffs and have a chance at one of the two quarterbacks that's going to be there if you don't make the playoffs. Wilson,
I disagree with that. I completely disagree with that. Thanks for the call, Junior. As always, good call. Right now I'm in total mode of let's go win this division. Let's go win this division. Let's keep improving as a team. You're 100% right to identify what I was talking about from the beginning of the show this morning. Yesterday was a day in which that's the kind of game, if I had been watching the Panthers under Ron Rivera, as a 3-7 team going into Dallas on Thanksgiving Day, I would have said, man, that Rivera from afar. as a football fan from afar, man, that Rivera's always got his teams tough, hard-nosed, big-hitting, good-tackling, disciplined teams. That's what I thought I was getting when they hired Ron Rivera. I wasn't involved as a Panther fan watching every game, you know, and knew every single granular detail of every single game that Rivera coached. I know a lot of Panther fans have become frustrated with Rivera, especially with clock management stuff, which we've seen some issues with, game management stuff. But the one thing that was always a constant with his teams is they seemed to overachieve at times, seemed to always be tough defensively. You saw that yesterday. And you saw a guy that's also had a reputation of, in spots, going for it. You know, trick plays, Riverboat Ron, going for stuff. And he went for it yesterday, man. He had that team ready. You know, he had that team. Del Rio did. Scott Turner called a really good game plan. Turner knew. Dallas, forget what they look like statistically in terms of their defense. They've got some speed up front. They can get after the passer. They threw it a lot on first down. They used a lot of play action. They also ran the football again. You know, they ran the football because Dallas has had a difficult time stopping the run. I thought it was by far and away the best day of the year for Ron Rivera and staff. And again, these last six games, hell, it's not far-fetched to say they could be on a six-game winning streak. They lost three games by a total of 7 points. A point to the Giants, 3 points to the Giants, and 3 points to the Lions. You know, all three games, winnable at the end. Very winnable at the end. They didn't, and they're 3-3 against subpar competition. I recognize that. But they have gotten better. The team has stayed together, and it's now positioned them for a possible division championship in this year, in which at one point at 1-4, and with the quarterback getting benched and all of the other drama of the offseason and the in-season and the questioning of Rivera and the press conferences and the wishy-washy mixed messaging, dude was fighting cancer. Let's not forget that. Yesterday, they completely outwitted the opposing sideline. Those people that thought Dallas got the better hire with McCarthy, I never thought that from the jump. Look, we got several years to go at least. Who knows how long McCarthy will last. And that team was devastated yesterday coming in, you know, with the death to the strength and conditioning coach, Marcus Paul, who, by the way, was a friend of Rivera's too, was a teammate of Rivera's. But that was a one-sided, ass-kicking beatdown. There were a couple of key plays. The McLaurin chase down of Jalen Smith, big play. CeeDee Lamb dropping that touchdown pass two or three plays later was big. But for the most part, Washington was more prepared. They were better coached. They were better across the board. They took it to them and really embarrassed them, especially at the end. The Montez Sweat pick and return was outstanding. If you don't think, and I, you know, there's been a lot of conversation about the D-line, and some of you have said to me, man, you have really overrated the D-line and Sweat and Chase Young. And no, they've got talent. Everybody can see it. If you've got two eyes and you've watched football, you can see the talent. They've struggled at linebacker. They've struggled at times at safety. Their front four has been great. Now, who's it been best against? The teams that have been hurting the most. The Eagles were down offensive linemen in the opener. The Cowboys were decimated in that game a month ago. And the Cowboys lost their two backup tackles early in the game yesterday. And Washington seized upon that opportunity. But they've got talent, and they are 2 to 3, maybe 4 pieces away, no more than 4, and probably no more than 3 pieces away from having an excellent defense in the next couple of years. Joe, go ahead.
Morning, Kevin. How you doing?
Hey, what's up, Joe?
All right, I will say my first happy post-Thanksgiving, and man, did I love it. I loved me some good turkey yesterday, and I'm a big butt whooping the Cowboys for sure. But I'll also say that what I liked and what I didn't like, I'll start with what I liked. Terry McLaurin, look, I mean, the fact that he played defense yesterday briefly on that one tackle, it's not only the fact that we did save our season, but it was a turning point because the Cowboys had momentum going to the 4-yard line, but McLaurin basically, with that tackle, Dallas shut their confidence. I know they're a super drop that pass in the end zone, but you saw the look on the side was just like, oh shoot, like what just happened? So, and then the running game. I gotta tell you something, Kevin. The running game in the past, the previous coaching regime, we would have milked the clock that we like we did in the past when we had the lead. But Scott Turner's game plan with the running game, it works every time. Every time we know we have the lead, he knows where to run the football. And what I didn't like, and it has nothing to do with the players on the field, the last 2 minutes of the game, Troy Aikman made a statement to Joe Buck saying, and, you know, with Ron Rivera, we got to get ready because we got to train Dwayne Haskins all over again. And my family and I were all watching him look at each other like, what? It's like he didn't even seem to notice that what Alex Smith has done these last couple of weeks. Yes, I know. Have we gotten only 2 wins out of it? Yes. Are we in the thick of this division? Yes. But the fact that he's not even looking, the fact that Alex Smith has done what he's done, he's like, he's getting ready. Okay, Dwayne Haskins all over again. Dwayne Haskins may not be on the team next year. And I know we had to look at his last 5 games to see what Alex Smith can do, but I'm satisfied with Alex Smith. And again, cement him as comeback player of the year right here, right now. You and I have talked about this so many times. Just get him the comeback player of the year. Happy Thanksgiving. Talk to you soon, Kevin.
You too, Joe. You know, I heard Aikman say it then, and I think he said it earlier. There were like, he alluded to, you know, Dwayne Haskins and being a part of the team and getting him ready for next year. And, you know, there was the pregame report from Ian Rappaport that says Washington wants Alex Smith back on the roster next year, maybe as the starter, maybe as the quarterback too, you know, depending on what they do. Look, these guys get to talk to the coaches. They're the ones that have had these intimate conversations, more intimate than typically anyone else gets. You know, a couple of days, you know, the night before the game in this particular case, I think it's the night before the game rather than the Friday before the game. I'm with you. I don't see Dwayne Haskins being on this roster next year. But I'm done predicting now on this. Just like, you know, I couldn't have been more wrong about Alex Smith. He's been great. He's been phenomenal. Was yesterday his best day of the last 3.5 games? No. May have been, you know, that pick was a bad play, but they didn't need a lot, and he managed the game well, and he made plays when he needed to make them, and he avoided bad plays when he was able to avoid them. It was impressive from Alex. Sabah, Rick, Tim, Caleb, Phil, everybody on hold, stay there. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Your reaction to the one-sided, you know, torching of the Cowboys on Thanksgiving Day, 41-16. I mean, as good a win for this organization on Thanksgiving, I don't know if it equals 2012. Nothing equals 2012 going down there with RG3 and scoring 28 unanswered in the second quarter. But yesterday was a lot of fun for some of us long-time, lifelong fans who have had many Thanksgiving days end disappointingly. That one was impressive. And again, it comes not as a one-game aberration, but it comes during a month and a half of playing pretty good football. Again, against teams that aren't great, we'll see whether or not they can continue it against a much tougher portion of their schedule upcoming. 301-230-0980, more of your calls next. J.P. Finley will join us at 8. It is the Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980, theteam980.com, and now on the radio.com app.
Alex Smith under center, 3 wide receivers left, Gibson. Now they hand off to Logan Thomas, who steps back and throws a pass. It's a trick play, looking for McLaurin. Finds him! First down, Washington.
What did I tell you guys before this game? I said I was watching practice. I saw Smith hand it off, and I saw Logan go deep.
I like it. I like it. It's a way, another creative way to get Terry McLaurin involved in this offense. And who better to throw that football than the former Virginia Tech Hokie?
Yeah, Logan Thomas. Quarterback at Virginia Tech. They're using him as a quarterback at times. Remember last week, we saw the play where he came in motion on a 3rd and short, I believe it was, and took a snap under center and went on the QB sneak. Yesterday, we saw him throw a pass, and we saw him run a zone read play in which he kept it for a first down. By the way, Terry McLaurin yesterday joined Charlie Brown as the only Washington player players since the merger in 1970 with 1,800 plus receiving yards in their first 25 career games. McLaurin, 7 catches, 92 yards yesterday, continues to be a real difference maker for them on offense. And I mentioned this earlier in the show, I think the two biggest surprises now, 11 games into the 2020 season, Alex Smith number one. You know, not just the fact that he played again, but that he's played well. And not only that, looks like he's going to be a part of their future. But I think the other big surprise, because this was something that was a big question mark for some of us and an absolute, you know, flaw and or weakness for many of you, and that is Washington's got better offensive playmakers and skill position players than any that most of us thought. All right, Gibson and McKissick and McLaurin and even Peyton Barber yesterday, man. He is a good vision runner. He converted yesterday 2 third-and-ones and a 4th-and-1. I mentioned this earlier in the show. Washington converted 5 third-and-ones. They were 7 of 13 on third down. Helps when you've got 5 third-down-and-ones. It's also an indication that they're more successful on first and second down. I think Scott Turner is proving himself to be a pretty good game planner and a pretty good play caller. We will get the first legitimate test against a legitimate playoff and Super Bowl contending team against the Steelers coming up in their next game. All right, 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Let's go to Tim. Tim on line 3. Thanks for holding, Tim. Go ahead.
Tim ended up dropping off.
All right, let's go to Caleb. Let's go to Caleb.
Yeah, good morning, Kevin. What I really liked about the game, Gibson's really, really good, like you said before. You know, his vision is good. You know, if his
well,
first
Barber's
year
got
back,
better vision than Gibson. Yeah. McKissick has better vision, but he, it's improving. It's really improving. Yeah. I think he missed a couple of vision runs yesterday that could have gone for more. I guarantee you that the coaching staff will push on that a little bit. But man, he's got some power, some real power, and then speed on top of that.
Yeah, and the defensive line, you know, they're doing what they've always been doing, putting pressure on them. What I really didn't like, I wish Scott Turner would get Terry more involved, like maybe some wide receiver reverses or some sweeps or something.
We've seen that in recent weeks.
You said what again?
We've seen that in recent weeks. We saw McLaurin with a 27-yard run. Was it last week or against Detroit? But we've seen him use him in that way.
Yeah, and maybe our corners aren't meant for that, especially against Dallas, but maybe some press coverage with some blitzes a little bit more, because they do play conservative off coverage a little bit. Sometimes I wish they would, you know, be more physical at the line, Kendall and Darby, and, like, you know, try to bump them off their routes a little bit.
Yeah, I'm surprised. I thought McCarthy just had no feel for the game yesterday, and Cowboy fans have complained about that all year long. You know, they came off of a game in which they were really balanced, and they ran the football against Minnesota. Minnesota has struggled at times defensively. And Zeke had over 100 yards, and they ran it last week more than they threw it. I mean, you had in the first half, I think, 19 throws, 9 runs. It was a 17-13 game. I don't know why they got away from the run in the first half. I didn't think that made a lot of sense, especially coming off that game. I don't think, I think Washington benefited from not seeing a lot of Tony Pollard yesterday. He's been outstanding for them. Over the last month, McCarthy had no feel for that game yesterday, made some horrendous in-game decisions, unnecessary risks, the fake punt. I don't care if somebody was wide open. Number 11 didn't even look like he was trying to throw the football. And the bottom line is it's a one-score game. It's 20-16. What are you doing on 4th-and-10 from deep in your own territory running a fake punt? It didn't make any sense. The 4th-and-1, you know, analytics will tell you, hey, it's 4th-and-1, and it may have been a 4th and even a little bit, a solid yard. I'd have to go back and look at it. But you're in a 10-10 football game. What are you doing? And then what are you throwing the football for? Were you really that concerned that you couldn't stop Washington? I mean, Washington had gone touchdown field goal. And again, we've seen this in recent weeks, 12 plays, 75 yards for Washington, 653 time elapsed, 14 plays, 67 yards, 6:55 time elapsed. They ended up having a 12-minute time of possession advantage. They had a near 10-minute time of possession advantage in the first half. Maybe he just felt like his offense needed to stay on the field. On third and one, he ran a little fly sweep to CeeDee Lamb that got stopped. Holcomb made a great play. John Allen made a really good play on that. I guess it was, you know, a pass technically because it was a forward push. But, you know, why not Zeke on third and one? He had no feel for the football game yesterday. McCarthy didn't. And Rivera and Del Rio and Turner did all day long. Let's go to Bobby in L.A. Bobby in L.A., what's up, man?
Hey, Kevin, happy holidays, happy Thanksgiving. How are you, my friend?
You too.
Thanks, man. What a game, man. I'm stoked. I'm pumped. I'm happy. I made a couple observations that I wanted to point out. Barber was actually phenomenal yesterday. He came through when we really needed him. But a couple things that I noticed that I thought might be interesting to bring up regarding Alex Smith. First of all, towards the end of the game in the fourth quarter, did you notice when Alex was running, he ran the ball himself, and when he got tackled by 24 Dallas, Haskins ran over and picked him up and pat him on the helmet.
That. Yeah.
Yeah, that was really cool. And that's kind of interesting because that's showing some kind of a dynamic. I remember the rumors earlier in the season when everyone was like, oh, Haskins ain't going to participate with the team, and there were rumors. So that's a good sign. That looks good. And he was celebrating with the team, which was great. So maybe there's some hope there with Haskins. I just wanted to get your thoughts on that. And
well, we talked about it earlier. Look, just like the videos that he was tweeting out all summer about the great shape he was in and throwing, playing catch with some receivers in the NFL, this isn't going to prove anything to me. I need to see him on the field, you know, executing what he's been, you know, coached to execute. You know, that's nice to see. It's great. It's Thanksgiving. And, you know, it's been a rough year for him and everybody else. And he was the first one to pick Alex Smith up. But that doesn't mean that he's going to go out and run the offense well the next time he gets an opportunity. That doesn't tell me that they're going to bring Dwayne Haskins back. What Dwayne Haskins should be doing since the day he got benched is proving them wrong every single opportunity he has. So and the ultimate opportunity will be when he has a chance to play. They still have five games left. He's the backup. He's one snap away. So the next time we see him on the field, if we ever see him on the field again, it's got to be a lot better. And it's got to be a lot better, not in our eyes, but in the eyes of Scott Turner and Ron Rivera. He's got to go out and do what he's been coached to do, because there is no doubt in my mind. And you can talk about the schedule and who Dwayne faced and who Kyle and Alex have faced until you're blue in the face. They are a much better offensive football team since Dwayne got benched. They are much better in their execution. They are much better in their pass offense. Scott Turner's been able to open up the playbook a lot more than he had earlier in the season. And what it's given them the ability to do and for us to see is they've got good players on offense. We weren't sure about that. But now we are sure that Gibson looks like a player, that McKissick was a really good free agent acquisition, as was Barber, maybe Logan Thomas as well, that Cam Sims may be stepping up at some point, and certainly that Terry McLaurin is what we thought Terry McLaurin would be. But go ahead, Bobby, finish up.
We lost him.
Oh, did we lost Bobby? I'm sorry about that, Bobby. Let's go to my second favorite, Bobby. Actually, tied for first, Bobby in North Carolina. What's up, Bobby?
Good morning, Kevin. How are you, man?
Bobby in L.A. just always sounds like he's stoned, which is why I love him. And he's calling, let's not forget, he's calling at 4:55 a.m. Go ahead, Bobby. What's up?
All right, real quick, because I know you're up against the clock. Total domination, and I'm going to try to go level by level. Alex was very solid, except for the one pass when he didn't see Jalen when he was going to Terry. Our running back class is really good. I said last week on a Twitter post that Gibson needed at least 20 touches a game. He got that. Offensive line, balled all day. How about Morgan Moses at left tackle, Kevin?
Yep.
I mean, I don't know if we need to move him. I think, you know, we might get healthy next week, and I don't know if we don't need to leave Morgan there. He's done a great job. Defensive line was their usual stout self. Linebackers, Cole Holcomb was excellent. I said before the game we needed about 10 tackles out of him. I think he got 6 tackles, 4 assists. The back four were solid. They got Darby a couple times. But how about Reeves and Cameron Curl in that safety position all
day?
Yeah,
I didn't point out Curl. Curl was really good yesterday at times, too. No doubt.
Yeah. Yeah, they were both solid. And just the coaching, like you've already said, the coaching, we just out-coached them. McCarthy didn't have a clue. I mean, some of the decisions they made on those 4th-and-1s and then the fake punt. I mean, but I think the play of the game to me, Kevin, we were up 2 scores, and we had the 4th-and-1 on like the 45, and I was saying punt with about 5 to go.
I was too.
Rolled the dice. And, yeah, did you notice Chase Young on the sideline after he decided he was going for how tough he was? I mean, I was saying punt, punt, punt the whole time, but it worked out for us. But
great run by Barber, too. Really good pop, you know, with the vision, popping it outside to get it. I haven't mentioned that play, Bobby. Don't let Bobby go, Anthony. I thought, you know, look, 5:10 left. You're up 11. You know, they got to score twice. We're almost in that position where they may have to, you know, you're almost like at that point, they're going to have to use timeouts on defense. You're going to.
Yeah.
I thought maybe punt too, because I didn't want to give them life and field position. But they had not stopped a 3rd-and-1 or a 4. You know, that they again, I've mentioned this 10 times this morning. 5 3rd-and-1s they converted, and then that 4th-and-1. And Peyton Barber is a really good short yardage back.
Well,
really good
he's
short
very
yardage
physical,
back.
Kevin. Those guys don't want to attack Peyton. He runs really hard with authority. And I left out, too, Logan Thomas, dude's getting better every week.
Yep.
And the most important – and another important thing, too, Scott Turner, man, the dude is calling great games. And, you know, we talked about the skill people. You know, let's give Scott some credit. He's scheming these guys open, Kevin. So that's maybe why our skill people are looking better maybe than – they might be, but
I want to give also, you know, I think John Matsko, the offensive line coach, has to get a lot of credit right now. That O-line is really performing, and we've had the injuries there at left tackle. And, you know, yesterday in the game, there was a jersey number in there that I was unfamiliar with at one point. I didn't even go look it up, but I think, you know, in his first play at right, when he went in at right tackle for Morgan, when Morgan switched to left in the Detroit game, I thought Sharp really struggled. But he's been coached up and he's better. And that was the fastest defensive front they've faced here during this stretch of Alex at quarterback. Obviously, it's going to be a completely different ball game facing the Steelers defense in their next game. Bobby, thanks. Hope you had a good holiday.
Thank you, Bobby.
Yeah, those that I didn't get to, we may circle back to some more calls next hour. J.P. Finley, NBC Sports Washington, will be my guest next. It's the Kevin Sheehan Show, Team 980, all right, on AM 980, no longer on 95.9 FM anymore. We're on the team980.com, and you can also listen, and I recommend it highly, download the radio.com app and listen.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.